The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
It begins, Shoftim v'shotrim titen lecho bechol shoarecho, Asher Hashem elakecha neisen lechol ishvotecho, v'shoftu eso o mishpat tzedek. You shall appoint judges, shoftim v'shotrim, and law enforcement agents in all of your cities, all of your gates, which Hashem will give to you, and you shall judge the people fairly and with righteousness. Leisate mishpat, leisakir ponim. In no way should you cause the judgment to lean in favor of one of the parties. You should not recognize, give extra recognition to any individual before the law. You shall not lesikach sheichad. You shall not accept payment from any of the parties. Ki ha-sheichad yaver einei chachomin v'salev divrei tzadikim. Because payment accepted by judges blinds the eyes of the wise and makes crooked the words of the righteous. Tzedek tzedek tirdof lemantiche v'yarashtos ores asher Hashem elokecha neisen loch. You shall pursue justice and fairness. Then you will live on your land, you will inherit your land which I have given to you. This mitzvah, this commandment, amores sabote dinim v'dayonim v'sheitrim, the appointment of a judicial system in order to guard the din and the mishpat, the upholding of law and order, the enforcement of law and justice and fairness. This is a mitzvah that all of the nations were commanded on, aside from Israel. The Rambam brings in Hilchos Malachim Perek Tes, Ashish Dvorim Nitztav Odom Arishon. The first man was commanded on six mitzvahs. And he writes what those mitzvahs are. And he writes that Bahadas Neitalahem, all of those six mitzvahs, is what the Seichel is Machayev, is what human intelligence demands and decrees. Besides the fact that these were mitzvahs given to all of the nations from Hashem through Mesha, Michlal Divrei Teira Yir Sha'alelu Nitztave. And amongst those six is what is known as Dinim, to guard and enforce the upholding of a law system, a system of a judicial system of fair justice. And the Rambam met at the end of the perek, Halacha Yudalet, Keitzad Metzuvin Hein Al Adinim, Chayovin Laheshiv Dayonim V'Sheftim V'Chol Plach U'Plach. That the nations of the world were obligated to establish courts and justice in every district, Lodein V'Shesh Mitzvah Zelu, to uphold these six mitzvahs, U'Lahazir Es Am, and to teach and to instruct the nation. Then he brings Umidnezen Ishaivu Kolbal Ishchem Harigo. This was the reason when the Torah tells us the story that Shem abducted Dina, the daughter of Yaakov. He violated her, that Shimon and Levi went and they destroyed the whole city. Everyone asked what was the Aveira, the transgression of the city, because the Mishpot, the law of the land, was not enforced, was not upheld. This was a violation of the law, and nobody did anything about it. And therefore, Nishaivu Kol Ba'alei Shechem Harigo. Therefore, the whole city was held guilty for this. In other words, what the Torah is telling us here, that we are not allowed to let society become lawless. This is our responsibility. All of the nations of the world. Also, we find by the nations who live in Eretz Yisrael, during the time when Israel is in control of the land. There also the Rambam brings in Perek Yud, Halacha Yud Aleph. Chayovin Bezdin Shel Yisrael La'asei Sheftim Le'elu Hagerim HaTeshovim. There is what is known as a Ger Toshov, a non-Jew who fulfills the seven mitzvahs. Initially there were six mitzvahs, and then one mitzvah was added during the time of Noach. A non-Jew that fulfills the seven mitzvahs, he has the right to live in Eretz Yisrael. Bez Din, though, our courts are obligated to see that all of these mitzvahs are kept, and therefore we have to establish courts for them. Lo din lahen al pi hamishpatim elu. In order that the civilization and society should not become destroyed. Imro Bezdin Shiamidu Sheftehem Mehem Mamidin. Bezdin has the choice if they can establish judges from they themselves, then they should be established. Imro Shiamidu Lehem Israel. If they see it's better to establish courts from the Israelim themselves, then they can do that. But there must be a system of courts and judges to oversee this situation. Now, all of this, as the Rambam says, is decreed by human intelligence, is imperative to the world. Because without this, then we become a society of civil disobedience and of violence, which unfortunately, tragically, we see today. This is what's happening here in South Africa, and it's happening all over the world. Whenever you look at a newspaper or you look at an international magazine, these are your front stories. Breakdown of law and order. And the Chazal tell us that if the law and order is not upheld, then will be Yishoches Ha'olam. It will bring destruction to society and civilization. And unfortunately, this is a great deal of what we're seeing today. In Parshas Noach, the people became very evil, and there were many, many sins committed. In the beginning of the parsha, it states in Pasuk Yud Aleph, "Vatishoches ha'oretz lifnei alekim." The land was brought to ruination. "Vatimalei ha'oretz chomos," and the land became full of theft. Then in Pasuk Yud Gimel, "Vayem alekim lenayach." Hashem said to Noach, "Ketz kol bosor bo lefonai. I have decided to bring the end to all flesh. Ki molo oretz chomos mipnehem. Because the land has become full of theft, where one is stealing from the other, one is taking from the other. Vihineni mashchisho meso oretz. Therefore I am going to destroy the land." Rashi brings here from the Gemara in Sanhedrin, "Leinechtam gzardinom elalagezel." That even though there were other great evils in the world, including incest and adultery. But the Gzadim, the final decree, was given from heaven al Gezel, because of theft, of illegally taking what belongs to other people. The question is asked, why? And in that, the Gurai brings, because when the world becomes full with gezel, with theft, and this is done against the willful participation of other people, forcibly taking from others what belongs to others, this is the breakdown of human society. It's the breakdown of the commerce in the world and the breakdown of society in the world. And therefore, this is what brings churban, the breakdown of society from heaven, the heavenly retribution. Similar to this, again we see this principle near the end of Parshas Noach. In Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Tes, the Torah tells us about the Dor HaFlogo. The people gathered together, Vayhi Kol Ha'oretz Sofa Achas Udvorim Achodim, that all of the people now after the flood were all of one language and they all lived together. And they said, one said to the other, Ovo Nivna Lona Iro Mingl Bereshiva Shomayim, let us make a great tower in a great city. What their intentions were is that they will climb up to the heavens and declare war on the Almighty. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and he said, Vayofetz Hashem Eisom Mishom Al Penei Kol Oretz. He went and he scattered them all over the world in order to stop this. Rashi brings Posuk Tes, that they were scattered all over the world, but he did not destroy them from the face of the world. Now, it would seem that this generation was worse than the generation that lived during the time of the flood. Because Eilu lo poshtu yod be'ikor ve'eilu poshtu yod be'ikor. The generation of the flood didn't make war on the Almighty. Well, here, this generation was coming to deny the supremacy of the Almighty. And still we find that during the time of the flood, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed them from the face of the earth. Well, here is all he did was scatter them all over the world. What's the difference? See, he brings, because El Shador HaMabel Hoyo Gazlonim Bohi Someirivin B'nehem, during the generation of the flood, there was a breakdown of civil disorder. They were thieves, they were gangsters, and they constantly were fighting one against the other. And therefore, that brought a total annihilation of the people from the face of the earth. While this generation, even though they committed the supreme Aveira of trying to make war with the Almighty and free themselves from his kingdom, nevertheless, Noagim Ava Vereus Benehem, they lived peacefully together, as it states, Vayichol Oretz Sof Echos Dvorim Achodim. They all have one language, and they lived together in peace. From here we see how grave is the breakdown of social order compared to when there is peace between the people. The Rambam brings in the Gemaras in Sanhedrin in Perek Beis of Hilches Reitzeach Halacha Beis. He's dealing there with the laws a murder, and what are the punishments of the murderer. And according to the law of the Torah, in order for one to be put to death for murdering a fellow Jew, it has to be where he actually murders him himself. But Haseha Hedig Lahareges Havere, what happens if he hires a person to murder someone else? Or Shesholach Avodo Vahorguhu, or he sends his servant to murder him? Or if he murders him not directly, but through an indirect cause, for example, he ties him up in a place where lions usually come. The Rambam gives further examples later on. For example, ties up a person and leaves him out in the cold. He leaves him in a place. He ties him up and leaves him where he will not be able to find food. And eventually he dies from starvation. Or he ties him up and leaves him in a place where eventually the sun will become so hot that he'll die from sunstroke. Or he sends wild animals after him. Allows serpents and other such animals to go after him. Now these are all indirect causes. So on that, the law is, Kol Echod Me'elu Shefei Domimu. There is no doubt that this person is a murderer. And he has the great evil of the fact that he has killed someone. But chai misal shemaim vein bon misis bezdin. And heaven will punish him. But our botei dinim, our courts, cannot give the death penalty in such case. Then the Rambam goes further. Chol eilo ratz chonim ukeyetze behem she'enen mechuyovim misis bezdin. All of these murderers, that because of the particular circumstances we mentioned, the Bezdin, the earthly courts, cannot give out the death penalty. Later on, he also adds, if it's because of a technicality, for example, he killed, but there was not proper warning. We have to warn someone beforehand of what the penalty will be, or other such technicalities. In this Parsha Shaftim, we have about the mitzvah of appointing a king over the nation. The king has permission where he, in such a case, can take the law into his own hands. And he can order the death penalty for this individual. Because he can see if he sees this is necessary for society. Or the courts themselves, if they see that it's become rampant, where violence is spreading and people are harming each other, then the Gemara brings the court has the extraordinary power where they can order the death penalty for this individual. Then he says further, if the king did not utilize his powers to kill this person, and the courts did not find it necessary to utilize their extraordinary powers, chayovim mikol mokom, nevertheless, they are obligated, lahakeso makar abba akreve lemiso, they are obligated to punish this person physically, very greatly, and to and to put him into a jail for many, many years, and to put him through enormous affliction, which is close to almost death. in order lahafchidu la'ayim ashar ha'roshoyim sh'liyadov alehem lepuk alamikshul, in order that they should cast a fear and trepidation upon other evil people in the world, that they shouldn't say hareini mesaviv lahareg goyvai, that I will also, if someone I don't like, I'll hire someone to kill him, or I also will kill him in a way in which the courts cannot do anything to me, and in which so and so did and he became free. And in the next perek, this is in perek beis, in perek dalet, the Rambam brings various methods that the Gemara says that the Beis Din is obligated to punish these people who are murderers, but because of a technicality in the way it was done, or in the circumstances beyond it, in the circumstances that surrounded the situation, we cannot give them the death penalty. Then nevertheless, we are obligated to afflict them. Then the Rambam writes. He writes in Perek Dalel Halochotes, Ve'in Eisin Dover Zeh Leshar Mechuyavei Mishis Beis Din. Now this, that what we do, he says, this does not apply to other death penalties. When it comes to other crimes, Im Yishai Misa Memisin Eisei V'im Enechai Misa Peiterin Eisei, if one has a punishment coming, then the courts must punish him. If they do not have these punishments coming, be it for whatever reason, whether the reason is a full reason or a technicality of the law, then Peyton and I say, we set them free and we do not punish them. This applies only to murder. Even though he says that Avenis Hamuris, even though in the Torah we do find other evils which are greater, nevertheless, this applies only to murder. Why? Because ein behen hashchosas yishuvei shel olam kishvichas dom. Because there is no greater destruction to society than murderers who are let loose and go about it with their freedom. Afila aveiros ora. He says, even idolatry. We know there's nothing more evil than idolatry when it comes to the Jew. But that is not as destructive to society as gangsters and murderers. And certainly not adultery or incest or desecration of Shabbos. All of these other aveiros, no matter how great they might be, they are not compared to the spilling of innocent blood when it comes to what is more destructive to the fabric of human civilization and society. Then he brings that this aveiro of taking the life of another person, an innocent life, this is an evil that HaKadosh Baruch Hu never forgives. And therefore, when it comes to all other evils, there the courts have to stick to the law. If they have permission, legal permission to punish him, they punish him. If for whatever reason is they cannot, then they must leave him go. But not so when it comes to Shvichas Domim, a person who takes the life of another man. The Maral brings in this vein that all of the aveiros, all evils, are broken into three categories. And one category, which at the head of that category, is aveiros zora, idolatry. He says that is what is known as ra l'shamayim. That's a person who's evil to heaven. There's another category, which the head of that category is, would be Gil Arayas. That would be such evils as incest or adultery. He says that's a ra le'atzmoy. It's self-destructive. third category, which the head of that category is Shpichas Domit, spilling of innocent blood, that's Rale Brius. That becomes destructive to the fellow man, to society. And that's why the Torah was so insistent that we establish a system of courts which safeguard the affairs of men between men, safeguard law and order in a just and fair manner. Now, this is in general. We find, however, that to Israel in particular, this mitzvah was given. As here we're speaking in the Torah, Sheftim v'Sheitrim Titin L'cho. A particular mitzvah to Israel when it comes to the upholding of law and order. And this is brought out in the Medrash on this parsha. In Parsha He Osvov. Omar of Levi, Lamaha Dovedema, what is this to be compared to? Lamelech Shohoyu Le Bonim Harbe, there was a king who had many sons. Behoya Eves Akot Jason Mekulam, and he loved the youngest child more than all of them. Behoya Le Pardes Echot, and he had a beautiful orchard. And this orchard he loved more than anything else that he possessed. Omar HaMelech, the king said, this orchard which I love more than all of my possessions, I'm going to give to my youngest son, who I love more than all of my children. So did Hashem say, from all of the nations which I have created, I love no one more than Israel, as it states, Kinar Yisrael va'avehu. Mikol ma sheborosi, from everything which I have created, eini ahiv elo asadin. There is nothing more than I love than justice. This is what Hashem says. From all of the nations that I have created, I love Israel. From everything that I have created, there is nothing that I love more than din, than justice. Shenamar ki ani Hashem ohev mishpat, as it states in Yeshayahu, I am God who loves justice. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Naisen ani ma sho'afti la'am shani ohev. This which I love more than anything else, I will give in particular to this nation that I love more than anyone else. And therefore it states, Sheftim v'sheitrim titein lecho bechol sho'arecho. That you shall appoint judges in a court system you shall make in all of your gates. Now, from here we see that there is a particular bond between Din and Mishpat and Hashem, between judgments, justice, and Hashem, and a particular bond between justice, Din and Mishpat, and Israel. He says, there's nothing that I love more than the Din, and therefore I will give it. It's like this pardes, this orchard that a king had that he loved more than all of his possessions. And therefore I will choose it to give to my favorite son. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to Israel. And the reason for this, the Maral writes in Nesiv Hadin, there are actually two reasons, but both reasons are of one source. The Din and the Mishpat are from the imperatives of creation. They are Mechiyuv HaMetzius, Muchrach V'Lei Reshus. There is no aspect when it comes to a judicial system, there is no aspect of option in it whatsoever. For example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has made and created many, many good things. He's created stokor, charity. He's created rachamim, compassion. He's created chesed, loving kindliness. But when someone does stokor, he does it sometimes. Doesn't always give charity. Sometimes he gives charity, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he gives more, sometimes he gives less. When he does chesed, he wants to do kindliness to someone else. Sometimes he does it, sometimes he doesn't. Rachamim, compassion. Sometimes we have more compassion, sometimes we have less. These qualities, how great that they are, they are known that they're not mechiyuv hametzius. They're not the imperatives of creation. And they are not tomit. They are not permanent. They are used in comparison to particular situations and in comparison to particular times and places. Sometimes they're of a temporary nature, of a casual nature. Not so with mishpat, not so with justice and judgment. It wouldn't be very good to say on a judge that sometimes he shefeted din emes, sometimes he judges something properly, and sometimes he doesn't. That would be known as kilkul hadin. That would be known as the distortion of law. Because the law always has to be judged, and it always has to be judged perfectly. It's not sometimes yes and sometimes no. It's not dependent that here will be a little lenient, here will favor one, and here will favor the other. This is what the Torah tells us. It says, Leisate Mishpot. The law must always be just. Do not favor any person. Do not favor any circumstances. Leisakir Ponim. And therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created the din and the mishpot. This was something which always has to be. It is from the imperatives of creation. It's not optional. And this shows that it's part and parcel of the creation. It's from the very fabric of the creation. And it's from the very fabric of Hashem. And this is why it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohev Es Hadin, that Ani Hashem Ohev Mishpat. Why he loves justice and judgment so much, because these are from the principles which are part of he himself and part of the creation, and there can be no substitute for it. There's a second reason, and that is that when it comes to din and mishpat, justice, this is part and parcel which is known as yosher. Yosher means something which is perfectly upright, perfectly straight. It cannot be to the right and it cannot be to the left. When it comes to other qualities, many times we go to the right, many times to the left. There's no what is known as lifnim mishuras hadin. Sometimes we go beyond the call of the mishpat. But perfect yosher, that which is perfectly upright, this is the mishpat, this is what is just and fair. And it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Almighty himself, he is of this quality. He is perfectly upright. He's neither to the right nor to the left. And this explains to us a few things. The Torah states Hamishpat Leilakim Hu, that when the judges come to judge a case, they have to be very, very careful, because the law is very, very deep. It is so deep. Hamishpat Leilakim Hu belongs to Hashem. We are trying to comprehend the ultimate in what is right and wrong, the ultimate in justice, the ultimate in fairness, the perfection of fairness. And on that, it's almost infinite, because it belongs to Hashem himself. That's why the judges are cautioned that when they approach a case, they have to approach it in this manner. Ki ha-mishpat le'lakim hu, because mishpat, the depth of the law and of justice, that's part of Hashem himself. This is the ultimate of what is known as yosher, as completely straight. There can be no crookedness in it. And it states that in the Torah, when Hashem created the world, in the all of the 7 days of creation, the particular name that's used for Hashem is Elohim. Breishis Bora Elohim, Es HaShomayim Ves HaOretz, Ruach Elohim Marachefes Al Pnei Amoyim, Vayim Elohim, Vayar Elohim, Vayikra Elohim. The only name of him that's used all of the time during the 7 days of creation is Elohim. And Elohim is the name, the Gemara tells us, which identifies Hashem's justice, which identifies him as the judge who exercises perfect justice. It states, Bora es Hashem es ha'olam bedin, because when he created the world, part and parcel of the creation was that of he himself, which gave a perfect yashvus, a perfection of justice into the world. Now, that's in regards to the mishpat. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is closer to that than anything else. Now, this is true with Israel also, because Israel was not a nation that was optional. It was a nation which was part and parcel of the creation. Like it states, Bereishis Bara Elohim, Bishvil Israel Shenikra Bereishis. When he created the world, he foresaw that the world can come to its ultimate perfection only through a nation like Israel. Because there will be no other nation that will want his Torah, and no other nation that will perform his mitzvahs. So Israel also became part of the fabric of creation and of the world. They were not optional in any way. Or like it states, Shem HaShishi, when Hashem finished the creation, he said the creation will depend on Israel's acceptance of the Torah later on. And Israel were known as Yeshurun. They were given a name, Yeshurun. And Yeshurun means Yoshua. They were the most just and upright of all of the nations. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, from everything that I have created, justice, Mishpat, is closer to me than anything else. And from all of the nations that I have created, Israel are closer to me than anything else, anyone else. And therefore, I give this mishpat to Israel. And therefore, Shaftim v'Shaytrim, we were given in particular this mitzvah. From here we understand also, in the Torah, many times when it refers to the court systems of Israel, it calls it Elohim. Like it states, Vanikra Balabais Elohim. It refers it to the name of Elohim. Because when Israel performs a perfect justice, then the name of Hashem is on their courts. With this we can understand the number of statements made by the sages, the Chazals. For example, the Gemara in Shabbos, Dav Yud Omer Aleph. Kol Dain Shedon Din Emes Lamitei Afiru Shoa Achas. Any judge that judges a perfect judgment, even once, Malalova Kosev Kilanase Shutav LaKodesh Baruch Hu B'Maaseh Bereishis, It's as if he becomes a partner with the Almighty in the creation of the world. Because by Moshe it states, by Yamor Omel Moshe min Abokar Erev, by Moshe it states that he was standing there judging the people from morning till evening. And in the creation it states, by Hi Erev Ivoker, Hashem said it was evening and morning, and we joined the two together. But now, according to what we said, we can understand it very well. Because part of the essence and the very fabric of creation was inculcated with this principle of a just society. See, justice is not something that people get together and they say, look, it's by consensus. It's good to have. Now, it's not an agreement between people. It's not something arbitrary that will come together and will decide we should have it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu inculcated it in the creation just as he has inculcated day and night in the creation. And if one could change day and night, that's how capable one is of changing right and wrong, what is just and what is not just. And therefore, if you have a judge and he aspires to exercise a perfectly just decision, then he becomes a partner with the Almighty in the creation of the world. Just as it states, in the creation of the world there was evening and there was morning. Another statement in the Chazal, this is in the Medrash Rabbah in our Parsha. Omer Shimon Gamliel, Al Timalagleg Bedin. One should not look lightly at the institution of a court which upholds the law. Shuhu Echod Migimul Raglia Olam, because it is one of the three legs, one of the three foundations on which the world stands. Lamash Shoninu Chachomim, like the sages taught in Pirkei Oves, Al Gimel Dvorim Ha'Olam Omed, the world stands on three legs, Al Hadin Ve'Al Ha'Emes Ve'Al Ha'Sholem, and the first is Din, on that of law and order. Tein Daitecho Shimetisu Es Hadin Shat Mizazea Es Ha'Olam Shu'echad Miraglov. If a person distorts judgment, then he causes the world to shake, because he is distorting one of the foundations that the world is resting on. The Mara brings out that we do not find this statement by other qualities, even though the world might also have other qualities which it stands on. And that's for the reasons that we gave. Because when it comes to other qualities, there's a time when you use them, there's a time when you do not. Sometimes you use them in a greater degree, sometimes in a lesser degree. Sometimes they're more of a temporary nature or of an optional nature. But this is the fabric of the world itself. And therefore, one who distorts the judgments, he is distorting the foundation of the world. At mizazeas ha'olam, and you will cause the world to shake. Another statement in Masechta Ovis, Perikei, it states, Cherev bo le'olam. The Mishnah there is dealing with great calamities, heaven forbid, that come to the world, like heaven forbid we see today. And it's giving reasons why they're coming. So one reason, one calamity is Cherev. When you find wars come to a land, that's the sword. Destruction through iron. Comes because of distortion of judgment and justice. Because the cher of the sword has a destructive quality like nothing else when it comes to destroying society. And distortion of the principles of law this also is distorting and destroying the very fabric of society. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin states that le'elam yiroya dain es atzmai, when a judge is sitting in judgment of people, he has to look at himself ki lucher munachas le ben yerechosov, as if there's a sword leaning, resting upon his knees. Because this is the power that is in his hands. Used properly, this will build the world. Used improperly, then this brings, heaven forbid, a sword to the world. On the other hand now, when someone brings a pure judgment and justice to the world, so what he's doing, he's bringing the yosher to the world. He's bringing that what is upright to the world. And that's a simcha. That's a great simcha. Shlema Melech tells us in Mishle Perek Yud, simcha la tzadik ases mishpot. The righteous rejoice when they see that justice prevails. That brings a rejoicing to people. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a man, Yoshua, when he's upright, and he has a natural aspiration to that what is just and fair. So when he sees that this comes about in the world, this brings a great rejoicing to him. The Rishoyim, on the other hand, though, the evil, this brings disappointment to them. Shlema Melech says, because they do not thrive on Yesha, they do not thrive on that what is upright and just. You always have those that whenever a government wants to enforce particular laws, or they want to legislate or enact certain laws, you always have certain lobbying groups that are against the good law. They're not happy with it. That's a sign that they're not Bali Yosha. It's a sign that they're not from the Yeshorim, from the upright. Because it should bring rejoicing to the upright. Now, the sages tell us further. If this is the case, then when you have, when people and judges are instrumental in seeing that justice is brought into the world, then they actually are bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. Because we said this is something which is part and parcel of himself. The justice is the yosher. It's exactly what is perfect and right, not to the right or not to the left. And this is Hashem. So therefore, people who are instrumental in bringing this into the world, they are bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. And that's what the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us, and Avzai Nomer Aleph, Omer B'Yenison, Kol Dain Shidon Din Emes La'amitoi, every judge that brings in a judgment which is to the ultimate truth, Mashre Shechina Ba'Olam, he brings the presence of Hashem into the world. As it states, Elokim Nitzav Badas Kel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he comes and associates himself with those courts that bring out the ultimate truth. Now the Medrash that we quoted continues to say, this Medrash that said that a king, he has what? From all of his possessions, he had this paradise, this orchard. And this orchard represented the mishpat. It represented the justice system. It's called a paradise because a paradise represents something of great joy. It's an orchard. And as we mentioned, that there is the greatest joy to the righteous is when they see that justice triumphs. So it continues as follows. B'ni chayecha b'schusha atem mishamrim es adin ani misgover. as it states, Vayigba Hashem Tzavokesh Bamishpot. He told Israel that through the merit that you will protect what is right and just, then I become elevated through you. You are making me your king. When men pursue what is right and what is just, this is basically bringing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to become king of the world. Because what is our motivation for pursuing what is right and just? And if you do this, then af ani eset stoko umashri kedushosi b'necha, then I will do charity to you. As it states, v'keel ha-kodesh nikdash b'tzdoko v'im shamatem eshnehem, because once we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu close to us, then we get the other qualities also of tzdoko. And if you will guard tzdoko ending, then ani gael eskem yad, I will redeem you immediately. Agu'ul eshlema, as it states, ko amar Hashem shimru mishpot v'asu tzdoko, guard Mishpot and Tzedakah, ki kreve Yeshuasi lovei v'tzidkosi ligolesh. This means that when we bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu close to us, then all of the other qualities come also, that of Tzedakah, of Chesed, and of Geula, of redemption. Now this is in regards to a Dayan that's Don Din Emes Lamita, to a system, to a judge which executes the ultimate truth in the judgments. What will be if we appoint judges which do not do this, but judges who take advantage of the law, judges who distort the law or use it for their own benefit or for the benefits of particular groups? Now in our parsha, it's very strange. Immediately after the first few lines of the parsha, which is the command of the establishing of judges in courts, it states Leisita and Posuchof Aleph Leisita Lecho Asherah Kol Eitz. Do not plant an asherah. An asherah was a tree which was traditionally planted by the idolatrous nations for the purpose of idolatry. Eitzel mizbach Hashem elakecha asher ta'aseloch. Do not plant this near the altar of Hashem. Leisokim locho matzeva. Matzeva were great stone monuments that were used by the idolatrous nations for those purposes. Asher sonei Hashem elakecha, which Hashem hates. Now, what are the smichos ha-parshas? What is the relation between these two parshas? So the Gemara brings in Sanhedrin. It says, Hamami dayin al atzibur she'enu hogun. Anyone who has a hand in appointing a judge over the people who is not a proper judge and will not execute law and justice properly, this teaches us that he is planting, it's the same as if he is planting idolatry next to the altar of Hashem, because of the relationships of these two parshas. The reason for this is because we said that the judge and the courts are called Elohim. They're given Hashem's name. And when they judge properly, Hashem becomes part of them. Hashem meets a badas kel. He comes and he associates himself with those courts. And they're called Elohim because this is a name of power. This is the name which Hashem uses when he judges the people. And he gave now this name to his courts. What happens if these courts use these powers, but not for the purpose of promoting justice and fairness, of promoting proper laws? Then they become what is known as Elihim Achel, gods of others. They become like idolatrous gods. The power of a god they have, because they're sitting there in the courts. But they're no longer the fabric of the Almighty, but they're Elohim Acherim. They become gods of others. And they become tools of idolatry. And therefore the Torah says, Sheftim v'sheitrim titin l'cho, that you shall appoint for yourselves proper judges, men of great quality. But if not, le'sita l'cho ashero, it's as if you are planting idolatry amidst Klal Yisrael. These are some of the principles which the sages teach us in regards to the Botei Dinim, aside from the fact that all of the world was commanded in this, as we mentioned, but with a particular association to Hashem and Klal Yisrael, that the enormous importance placed in that there should be a system of judgments, justice, enforcement of law to govern the affairs of people. And this is the responsibility of society to see that this is done. Otherwise society becomes destroyed by the criminal element. And unfortunately, as mentioned, this is too much of this we are seeing now, where no longer society is not governing the criminal, but criminal is governing the society. And in Yitz Hashem, we should see the Mishpat Lelakim, the judgments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, triumph throughout the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.